Hi everyone, I'm Allie Graymond. Today I'm answering questions about OCD recovery. These are the questions that you left below the previous video. So I'm going to start out with people who are channel supporters. And this means that they clicked the join button and became a channel supporter. And if you haven't, you will get priority in Q&A if you do so. And then we will go to everybody else. So the first question has to do with sexual OCD and getting urges and sensations in the body. So sometimes the person says sometimes they can feel like excitement, and the person is asking, do you think this is still OCD or something that describes my true character? This is absolutely OCD. This is classic, very common OCD. Generally, sexual OCD comes in this way or presents itself in this way. So just choose to disregard. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to focus on these feelings, on these urges, on these sensations. Just look at it as it's all irrelevant. Don't care. Choosing not to react. Nice try, OCD. Not gonna buy into it. And just try to be very sarcastic about it. Very like, okay, whatever. And choose to move on, even though it feels this way. It's just another kind of ploy to get you into OCD. To get you into a reaction of fear, to get you into ruminating, protecting yourself, Googling, all this stuff. Don't do any of it. This is reassurance. Rumination is the fuel that keeps OCD going. The longer you keep this going, the worse this is going to get. You know? And it's not true now. It's not going to be true later. But you're going to continue to feel bad and continue to be stuck in OCD. For as long as you take these thoughts seriously or urges or whatever sensations seriously. So choose not to take it seriously and they will start to go away. And then also another thing is when you choose not to take it seriously, don't go back and check like, okay, I wasn't taking it seriously for a day. How do I feel now? Let me see if there's any difference, right? Because then you're also focusing your attention on them and it's kind of like, are we there yet, right? When you're driving, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's not going to go away if you continue to do that. And just, again, to reiterate that the brain has no idea what these thoughts are. You just flagged one random thought some time ago. One out of 50,000 thoughts came in. Everybody gets weird thoughts. You got some weird thought, but you reacted to it with a lot of fear. People with OCD and people without OCD get the same exact thoughts. It's been proven in tests, in studies before. The thought is not the problem. Your reaction to it is. If a person without OCD, who is not in kind of danger of getting OCD, gets this kind of thought, right? And feels an urge or feels a sensation or whatever, they'd be like, whatever. And they'd forget about it 2 seconds later. But the person with OCD or who's about to develop OCD would say, oh my God, what does this mean about me? How does this, you know, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm a bad person? And they think and think and think. And because you're thinking about it, you're flagging it. And then the brain starts to go over it. So this is a loop that got created. So now to break the loop, you have to disregard even though you're feeling bad right now. And when you disregard, again, this is very important. When you start to disregard, after a while, not like that day or that hour, but after a while, depending on how long you've had this, after a few weeks, it will start to reduce. So as it's reducing, don't go back, don't check, don't try to see if it's still there, and also continue to do recovery work. So continue to disregard. So even if it's like more or less better, but it's still giving you thoughts every once in a while, you have to be just as focused on the recovery work as when things were bad. Because this is kind of the roller coaster that people with OCD a lot of the times go on, where when the person is feeling bad, they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do recovery work. I'm very focused. They are very focused. They start to do recovery work. And then as soon as they start to feel a little bit better, they're like, oh, I'm recovered. I'm cured. I don't need to do any recovery work whatsoever. I'll just go and live my life, which is, I do want the person to go and live their life, of course, because that's what the refocusing is all about. But you still need to be focused that as soon as that thought comes in with a familiar topic, familiar feeling, sensation, urge, whatever, you're actively disregarding. You're on it. You know, so yeah, I'm living my life. But as soon as that thought comes in, you're being very vigilant about it and not letting one past you. You know, it's so very, very important. Okay, so next question is, hi Ali, thank you for your support. My question is, after doing recovery work, some days it feels like OCD is not there, and then some days we feel anxious and then followed by OCD thoughts. Why does this happen? Is this normal, or am I doing something wrong? Please help me understand this. So this question fit right in line that going back from the previous question is, when you're doing recovery work, you start to feel like OCD is not there. And then it could be, so say you started to really get into it, you started to do really well, you're doing recovery work, and then there was some stressor that came in, just real life stuff. Our current situation of COVID comes to mind. So, and then you started to kind of sidetrack and get anxious and get stressed out just by life. And when you get stressed out, your brain, because your brain doesn't understand the difference between OCD thoughts and real life thoughts, it starts to bring up more OCD thoughts. But you're not focused on OCD recovery because you're focused on other things, whether it's, or it could be just that you felt good and you were focused on, you know, living life, right? Like I was saying earlier, but you weren't as focused on the OCD recovery. And when you're not as focused, that's the perfect time for OCD to come in and kind of take you down. So this kind of up and down roller coaster happens to pretty much everybody who's going through OCD. You just have to be aware. And for the first 6 months of recovery, for sure, do basic things in addition to doing ERP, but do basic things that will help your mind rest. Because people with OCD have overactive minds generally. By nature, they have overactive minds. So things that are helping you slow down, because your mind is basically too fast. Right? So help it slow down by doing things such as getting enough sleep, not putting yourself in too much stress, not taking on too much, too many projects, too many things, especially packing too many things in short amount of time. Because what happens a lot is, if you're like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then you're excited, and basically your adrenaline is up, your cortisol is up, and then, so you've done those things now, and then there's this lull of nothing. Again, perfect time for OCD to swoop in, because your stress hormones are already up, you know? So it's very, very important for you to kind of be calm, slow, steady, going through the day, you know, very, very calm and collected, moving through the day, not in these kinds of leaps. And again, the most important thing, focusing on the recovery. What I really suggest, I honestly, guys, talk to clients all day long. You know, sometimes when I skip videos on the channel, it's just because I've been through many sessions in the course of a day, and it's just, you know, it's too much in that specific day to do a video. That's literally it. I do videos as much as I possibly can. It's just after 10 hours of sessions, I'm like, okay, I can't do a video. That's literally it. So I have a lot of information on this, and I can tell you that specifically with pure obsessional OCD, you need to track how much time you are paying attention to the thoughts. So, like I was saying about two videos ago, have a sheet and make time from 9. So you're going to have these time periods from 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, and 9 till whatever you go to sleep, okay? And each time, so you say, for example, 9 to 12, okay, you hit 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, you will look back at the previous 3 hours, and you're going to put down how much time you've ruminated. So when I say ruminated, it means how much you've responded. So when the thought comes in and says to you, say, oh, hey, what if you're going to go and kill this person? That's not you. That's autopilot. So we're not recording that, but we're recording your response. So how much time did you respond to this? Right? So starting from your response, the time starts now. And if it's like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, so you're counting the whole 3 hours overall, it will be an estimate, but that's okay. So you just estimate roughly how much do you think you've ruminated in the last 3 hours. Put a number down somewhere. Once you have this system, this is literally going to take you 1 minute, if not less, to do. So there's no excuses to say, oh, I can't, I don't have the time. It's literally 1 minute. Yes, you can and you will. Because, again, going from the experience of talking to people all day long, I'm telling you, I see results that are above and beyond for people who are doing this versus for people who are not doing this. You know, they recover so much faster, not just like a little bit faster. It's kind of like a whole different world, because when you're tracking it and you're like, wow, I've been thinking about this for, you know, say 400 minutes this week, right? And then you start to reduce. So you're like, okay, 400. Then next week, I'm only going to do 300, then 200, then 100, then zero. So you can knock this out in a month if you're focused on it. But if you're not even focused, if you're not even tracking the time, I almost guarantee you that you will not see the same results. So that's what I'm saying. It's really important to do that. And what you were going back to the question, especially on bad day, especially on good days, rather. On bad days, you start to fall down, but then, you know, you also kind of, you understand that you're in OCD and you start to pick yourself up. But on good days, unless you have the system, you're not even tracking it. So if you're not tracking it on the good day, that's kind of how you start to fall back down. But if you're focused, okay, I got out of my last OCD thought. Now I'm focused on not getting into another one, meaning whatever comes in, I'm not going to ruminate. I'm not going to Google. I'm not going to check. I'm just going to push through and disregard. And it's much harder for OCD to kind of sink its teeth when you're not letting it in this way, right? So that's why I really, really highly recommend tracking the time. Next question is, I have a couple of questions. I've been doing really good disregarding. I feel like two or three out of 10 on most days. Not intense anxiety or panic, but it still gets like 5 thoughts a day. Some pass and I barely notice, but every once in a while, one gets my attention. My question for this, am I on the right track? And do you have any advice on how to push through to full recovery? So you're not that far away from full recovery. So 2-3 out of 10 on most days is probably what most people who are listening right now are wishing for. So you are already very close. I would say the way the question is phrased, and I might be wrong, but this is very common also in this stage, is almost... like you are worried about the recovery equally as you are worried about the thoughts, whatever your thoughts are. So don't obsess about the recovery process. It slowly dissipates. And I would tell you that the beginning is much faster than the ending. So to go from 10 out of 10 OCD to about 6 out of 10 is a lot faster than to go, well, this is from experience again, than to go from, say, 4 or 3 to a 0. You know, so it's just it's a longer journey in the end, because it almost seems like the brain doesn't want to fully let go to make sure to let go of that, making sure that you're safe. You know, so it kind of wants to hold on to just a little tiny part of it, and it dissipates over time. So this is what we're saying, that 6 months, the first 2 months is to knock that big part of OCD down. I would say up to 5 out of 10 for sure the first month, if you're doing focused recovery work. And then the rest of it is kind of like it's spread out depending on the situation, depending on the person, for the rest of 6 months. So just look at it as normal. That's pretty classic. So I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with this. I would say, again, tracking the time, or if you have compulsion-based OCD, then tracking the number of compulsions and making sure you're reducing it. So again, your response, not how many thoughts are coming in, that's beyond your control, but your response. Also look at your life generally. Maybe you're stressed out, I think everybody's stressed out right around this time, but kind of creating a situation in your life that helps you recover rather than stresses you out and pushes you back into OCD. Next question is, my other question is, one of my main fears is fear of going crazy, which ties into fear of losing control. I noticed that not only OCD suffers, but people from all other anxiety disorders have this fear. So I think it should be addressed more often. How do you do exposures for this? So how do you do exposures for this? You're like, yep, gonna go crazy in the next 5 minutes. Didn't happen? Okay, maybe next 10 minutes. And just continue to do that, right? So you're not saying, because technically speaking, in over 10 years, I've never seen anybody go crazy. So realistically, that it's not a thing, okay? But potentially, one in a million chance, I can go crazy. Anybody can go crazy, right? So we have to say, yeah, okay, one in a million chance, choosing to disregard. So kind of take that remote possibility that any human being on earth faces and face it head on, right? So instead of ruminating or trying to figure it out, just say, yeah, sure, you know, one in a million. We'll see if it happens in the next 5 minutes. No? Okay, well, maybe next 10 minutes, like that, you know? And that way you're doing exposure for it. Yes, and is the thought itself the exposure? Yes, the thought itself is the exposure. What are some signs if we're almost recovered? So when you're almost recovered, the thoughts come in less often and with less severity. So if you got the thought, say, every single day, you might get a thought, say, once a week, then once a month. And when, depending on the situation, when the thought comes in, it could still give you quite a bit of anxiety, right? So that's normal. But it also kind of goes away very quickly. So it doesn't last as long. So basically, you have more control over it as you get closer to recovery. It doesn't get you as much. Next question is, you talk about sensory motor OCD, but what about hyper awareness of your own thoughts? Is that sensory motor? Every time I think, I notice it and it bothers me. So when you notice it, that's the exposure and you have to choose to disregard. So yeah, okay, I notice it. Okay, yeah, your OCD will tell you it will be there forever. Yeah, it will be there forever. Yeah, I'll make it my pet. It'll be my pet for the rest of my life. Okay, it'll just be here. That's fine. Kind of, the more you, with sensory motor, the more you accept whatever sensation you're feeling to be there, the faster it will go away. So you're not actually saying that, yes, it will be there for life, but you're just saying it's here, because it is right now. I accept it to be here because, again, it is right now, and it will go away whenever it wants to. So I'm not going to pay attention to it. Like, I'll just let it be in that corner, and I will be over here. You know, that's kind of, I give an example of riding in two separate lanes. Like, that's the car over there with the sensory motor. It can drive next to me for as long as it wants, but I'm just over here in my lane, and who cares? Taking that attitude more so. It depends how it's coming in. Is this, when you're saying, is this sensory motor OCD? If you are bothered by the feeling of having a thought, that's sensory motor. But if you're bothered by what if I never recover, so the idea of having a thought, not a sensation of having a thought, but the idea of having a thought, and how does this relate to OCD recovery in the way of an idea, that's just more, as I call, OCD about OCD. So worries about recovery, OCD about recovery. Really, it doesn't matter where we classify this, because the method of recovery from it is the same. Yeah, let it be there. Yeah, feel uncomfortable. Okay, going on with my day. And don't try to jump into the future and see, well, how's it going to be in the future? Never analyze the future when it comes to OCD. No matter what, guys, what OCD you have, never analyze the future. Just look at it that right now, I'm in my house, I am doing this. So I am, say, for example, you're cleaning the house, okay? I'm cleaning the house. This is what I'm doing. Thoughts are over there in another lane. I'm doing this. I'm fine. I'm focusing on this. always bring yourself back to the present moment. And then when OCD tells you, but what about in the future? Doesn't matter in the future. I'm doing this. I'm cleaning right now. I'm not in the future or in the past. Right? So always kind of bringing yourself to the present moment and not ruminating. And if you are ruminating, then you got to be tracking it. Next question is, how do I control an OCD attack to the point where I'm uncontrollably crying and can't breathe? So, how do you control an OCD attack? With OCD attacks, and by the way, this happens very often. Controlling the situation when it's already at a 10 is very, very difficult. You need, again, it comes down, a lot of it comes down to the tracking and understanding that you need to recover. So you can cry, you can scream, you can punch walls, but you cannot ruminate, because ruminating gets you deeper into it, right? So in terms of an OCD attack, understanding that the more you pull yourself into, do you know what I mean? Like when you're crying, when you're in this, and when you're thinking, like, you know, because again, I've had OCD, so I totally understand how you're feeling in the moment of, you know, why is this happening? I don't deserve to be feeling this way. How can I make this stop? When will it ever stop? But when you're having those thoughts, you're diving deeper into it. In the moment, or right before you get to the moment, if you can gather whatever strength you have in that moment, which is when you're having an OCD attack, I understand it's not a lot, and just say, okay, if I start to really think about how bad my situation is right now, I'm just going to feel worse. I'm going to refocus right now on something else where for the next, say, 10 minutes, I absolutely can't think about it. For me, what I found helpful this was quite a few years ago, but what I found helpful at the time was to call somebody who I absolutely could not talk about OCD with. And that for me at the time happened to be my grandma, because she was older and obviously, and I could not, you know, tell her about my OCD. So I knew that for the time that I would be talking to her, I would have to be on my best behavior and pretend like I didn't have OCD. And I'm telling you, so many times by the time I was done talking to her, I was already on a different kind of brainwave, so to speak, and not obviously feeling good, but feeling better than I was when I started, because I refocused. So I put myself in a situation where I absolutely couldn't do it. Another good example of this would be to go outside and take a walk around the block. When you're walking around the block, you will not allow yourself to cry and scream and all of this, unless you're, you know, in an extreme attack, but most likely you won't. So put yourself in the position where you will refocus just a little bit, you know, because these kinds of releases of emotion, I guess every once in a while they're helpful, but they're actually training your brain more than you're in the problem, you know, kind of pushing you back in, rather than to say, whatever, I have OCD, yes, it's scary, yes, it's extremely uncomfortable, but I'm handling it. Do you know what I mean? So you're taking the position of a warrior. You know? Taking a position of a fighter rather than taking a position of somebody who is hunted. Do you know what I mean? So you're taking the lead in recovery. And look at it that no matter who your psychologist, therapist, coach is, the recovery depends on you. You will either do the work and you will recover, or you won't do the work and you won't recover. This is what I say all the time for people, when people ask me, like, oh, these people online said you can't recover. Whatever anybody says about their recovery is true. If a person says, I will never recover, as long as they have that attitude, they will never recover. If they say, yes, they will recover, then they will recover. Obviously, they have to put action towards it, but generally, the attitude sets the stage. So if you have the attitude of, I'm done crying about it, I'm done doing this. I'm just gonna push through with exposures. And that brings me to the next point with the OCD attacks. So I broke it down into two parts, right? This is an OCD attack when you're just in emotion, right? Now, if the OCD attack comes purely from exposure situation, and it's happening a lot, then you need to start you need to start doing active exposures on that trigger. If you feel like you can't face it all at once, considering if this is the right kind of path that I'm going down, and you're having an OCD attack, probably you won't be able to face it all at once. That is okay, but you need to face it at least a little bit at a time. You know, so if you're afraid to touch something with your full hand, touch it with, pinky. Touch it with your pinky in wearing a glove first, you know. Like, find a way to make the exposure smaller. And when you're doing exposure work, I suggest sticking with exposures that are about, 7 out of 10 max in terms of intensity. Because any more than that, and you're just gonna scare yourself, and you won't do the exposure work. There's some situations in which you kind of have to push through, but more so than not, try to stick with 7 out of 10. Because that way you know for sure that you will do the disregarding after, and not just scare yourself and then end up, you know, Googling and asking and checking and whatever, cleaning whatever your situation is. So, and you know, also with OCD attacks, it's very important how people around you are handling it. So the two worst ways to handle it is to say, oh, I feel so bad that, say, my child or my loved one is going through this. I will do all the compulsions for them as long as my loved one is not feeling bad. That's a really bad way of handling it for the family to help OCD recovery. It's literally the worst thing you can do, because the more compulsions you will help the person with, the more compulsions they're going to do. So the compulsions will grow, whether it's talking about it or physically doing compulsions. So the people around you need to know what to do in this situation, and they need to remind you that, no, you need to push through. You need to stop crying and you need to start doing recovery work. There's nothing to cry about. You can overcome this. You need to start actively overcoming this. We're here for you. We love you. But you need to do recovery work. Right? So kind of putting you back on that warrior track. Right? So from the victim going back to the warrior. I'm no longer being a victim of OCD. I'm done. You know, as I always say, slam the fist on the table and say, you know what, I'm done crying about it. I'm going into action mode. I sometimes call it the Terminator mode, but it's true. You know, that's where you need to be. This is the end of the part one of Q&A. I will be back with part two tomorrow. If you haven't submitted your question, please submit it below the video where it says, please post the question below. If you want your question to answered right away, because I have, I think, over 150 questions now. So I think that just quite being quite honest, 150 questions, I probably will not be able to answer all of them. So if you find that your question is really important and you were thinking about doing the join program, it gives you a priority in Q&A. So I do recommend that if you really need your question answered. I'm going to try to answer, though, as many as I possibly can. So I think I'm going to do probably Q&A part. Well, today's part one, part two, part three, part four, part five, probably. So I will try to answer all of them, but I'm just saying that it is obviously a lot of questions. But thank you for watching. I will see you with more questions tomorrow.